He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, my name is Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and author of my newest book, God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. I'm so glad that you could join with us on today's program. As we go through this series, His Promised Grace, I know that you will discover that God's grace has allowed you to live the abundant life here on this earth as you walk in Jesus Christ. As you listen to the series, you will understand that the abundant life is more than finances, it's more than cars, it's more than houses, it's much more than any of that. It is eternal salvation in Jesus Christ that allows us to walk in His abundance with joy in our heart, knowing that God is in control of these troubled times. Now let's listen to the message, His Promised Grace.
Father, as we come to You and lift You up, give You praise. Open our hearts, Father, that we may meditate upon Your Word, that we may hear what You would have to say to each of us. I pray You will anoint Your servant. I may speak only the words that Christ would lay in my mouth. And we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. Where's the passion in the church today? Where's the love for Christ today? Have you forsaken your first love? Jesus is your first love. You are His bride, and He is your groom. Now, it's tough for us guys to wrap our arms around that. When somebody starts saying that I'm the bride, I get a little nervous. And I think that probably could be said for most of the men in here. It's probably a lot easier for you women to understand the bride of Christ. And in fact, maybe that's why men, we are letting down so much in our spiritual walk. Because we don't understand the relationship of a bride to a groom. Maybe that's part of the problem. I don't know. But I know it's hard to wrap those arms around that. Us being the bride and Jesus being the groom. But in fact, that is exactly what He likens us to. The church is the bride of Christ. The church stands before God dressed in white, in our fine linens. Even though in ourselves, we feel like sometimes we're such a scourge. Because we know we don't live according to everything this Word says. We know we don't do that. We make mistakes. But that is why Jesus had to come in the first place, that He might cover our sins. And now, though our sins were as scarlet, now they are white as snow. Because now we are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. And as God looks at us, He sees a beautiful bride. Think of the last wedding you were at. The bride is always aglow. No matter the bride, she is always aglow. She is excited to be there. She can hardly wait to come down the aisle. She's aglow. And now as God looks at this congregation, He sees a bright, glowing face before Him. We know that the bride that's walking down the aisle probably realizes she's done a few things wrong in her life. But that doesn't matter because she's covered in the white gown as the groom gazes at her as she comes down the aisle. and begins to look at her and lay his eyes upon her, he has forgotten about everything that has ever happened in the past, because now he is focused only on the beauty that is before him. Ephesians 5, 22 through 23. This is a hard, you know, God has a way of doing that. His word has a way of making it hard for us to look at. And why is that? It's because of our arrogance. It's because of our pride. It's because of our culture that has told us all of this time how we are to live as individuals. We are no longer to live in the hierarchy that God has set up, but we are all individuals. We are all equal on plane. Now, to some degree, that is true, but it's just exactly like Satan to take something that God has told us and pervert it into a lie. Because God has told us that there is no Jew and there is no Gentile. There is no male or female or Scythian or free. There is no bond slave or free any longer. We are all the same. Christ is all and in all. And that is absolutely true. When it comes to salvation, it is absolutely true. He is no respecter of persons. All can enter into the kingdom of heaven. There will be no male or female in the kingdom of heaven. We will not be marrying and giving in marriage in the kingdom of heaven. So that is absolutely true. But while we are on this earth, God has still set up a hierarchy that He wants us to follow, or else there is utter chaos. Do you realize that all of the governments of the world, if you start looking at the Word of God, are really set up based on the Word of God? I mean, think about it. There's a head, and then there are subordinates that will follow that head. Now, some of them are led by Satan to where they try to do more than what God had intended for that relationship to be. As Paul was telling the Romans that you need to obey your authorities because they have been placed over you, he understood that sometimes when those authorities step out of their boundaries and they no longer want to do what God wants to do, that there's something that we should consider. That's not what the sermon's about today, so I'm not going to get off in that. Instead, it's about wives, submit to your husbands. You know, I told you ladies that you weren't going to get off the hook, didn't I? You know, as I talked to the men, I told you ladies, you know, your turn is coming. Here it comes. Now I got some bad news for you men, because you're still not off the hook even today. But you know what? You deserve double honor. You deserve double hammering of the word. Because we are not living according to what God wants us to do as men of God. We're not grabbing the mantle of leadership the way that we are supposed to be. We are not the head of the family the way that we should are supposed to be. That is the problem with our society today. But I'll start with the women. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body of which He is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, this is not something that just Paul just came up with. I've heard that, you know, Paul was a real chauvinist. I've heard some ladies say, you know, I'm going to have a real talk with Paul when we get up to heaven. But Paul didn't make up any of these things. And in fact, he was reiterating what God had told him to say. This is the inspired Word of God. And I'm going to prove that to you in Genesis 3:16, to the woman he said, after the fall, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Paul was simply reiterating what God had already told him his hierarchy was going to be. And it was going to remain throughout this life. And it was because of the fall of man that it was set up that way. When the Word states in the New Testament what has been stated in the Old Testament, it's a safe bet, if you are a betting person, that it still applies today. When God restates His Word in the New Testament, you know that it is still applicable today. It has not been removed. Paul, I think, has kind of received a bum's rap, you might say, because of his stance. Peter also agreed with Paul, restating what God had ordained. 1 Peter 3:1-6. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from the outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is the great worth in God's sight. For this way, the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Now, what God is not saying here is that, ladies, you should not try to make yourself more pleasing to your man. Ladies, you should go out like a slouch. Don't worry about putting, you know, just go ahead and throw on some old t-shirts and be grubby. That's not what he is trying to say here. What he is trying to say is that if you are only adorning yourself with the way you do your hair and with your jewelry and with your makeup and all of that thing, but there is no inner beauty inside, then you have not completed the process. He is saying that that inner beauty comes from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who comes inside of us. And ladies, that you should adorn yourselves with that beauty. Now, would I have you remove your earrings and your jewelry and your makeup and your the beautiful way you do your hair? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There have been men who have, in the past, who have taken this very passage and I believe have distorted it to a thing that God has not intended it to be, and said, this is the way. See here, you're not supposed to, you know, you're supposed to wear your hair a certain way. You're not supposed to wear any jewelry. You're not supposed to do this. This is not a book of don'ts. This is a book of do's. My wife, honey, I'm sorry, here I go again. She says, she hates it when I do this, when I use her for an example, but this is a good example. So you can go ahead and smile. No, you're not, until you hear it, you're not going to smile. She is constantly asking me, does this look all right? Should I wear these earrings? Should I say, honey, it looks fine, just like, or we go down the road, oh, I feel naked, I forgot my earrings. Honey, you look beautiful to me. You see, she has that inner beauty inside of her that shines out, that she doesn't need all that adornment. The adornment's just icing on the cake. That's all it is. Wives, submit to your husbands. Understand that he is the head of your household. But as promised, men, you're not off the hook. Because I believe that we have the harder job here. And I'm going to tell you why. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing her with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and he cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Here's the part that I'm talking about that I think is the hardest. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. Do you understand that Christ loves the church unconditionally? Do you understand that we cannot do anything that will make us not the bride of Christ? Have you ever considered that? Have you ever considered the ugliness that sometimes is seen in churches? Have you ever considered that? Have you ever considered the bickering and the biting and the fights and the things that go on sometimes in a church? And how can Christ still love that? How could he do that? Because He loves us unconditionally. Because no matter what we do, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works. If you can't work your way into heaven, you can't work your way out again. If you can't work your way into the grace of God, you can't work your way out of the grace of God. It can't happen. You're tightly bound in, if you are in the fellowship, or if you have given your life to Christ, if you are abiding in His love, if you are persevering with the saints, you cannot be taken from this hand of God. Men, you are to love your bride unconditionally, as Christ loved the church. He doesn't say that you're the head of the household, you're ruling the roost. That means everything she says, everything you do, she has to do. You tell her to jump and she says, "Hi, hi." No. He says, remember this book of dues? I don't recall Christ telling us as a bride to jump anywhere. Instead, He devotes Himself to us in love. And in fact, He only wants to do for us what is good for us because of His love. And it's the same with us men. As you commit yourself to your wife, as you become the head of your household, the spiritual head of your household, as you take up the mantle of leadership, you realize that as you make a decision, there will be consequences that go with that decision. Sometimes they may be consequences that you see right away. Do we turn to the left or do we turn to the right? Well, you know, you're sitting there and you're going, just picture this, you're going down the road, you know that's about to stop. All right, well, maybe it should be a Y. Let's do a Y because we don't want to totally wreck. You got a fork in the road. Well, should we go right or should we go left? Well, I don't know. I'm not real sure which one we should go either. Well, maybe we should go to the right. Well, I don't know if we go that way. Well, but maybe we should go to the left. Somebody's got to make a decision. And I hope it's the one who's behind the steering wheel. They finally get to the Y. You surely don't want to go down the center. You have to turn to the left or to the right. Now, when you turn to the left, and men, when you find out that you have gone the wrong direction because you wouldn't stop and ask for directions, then you have to stand up and say, "Well, I was wrong. We did this and I was wrong." But ladies, understand that this means that you two come together as a unit. And you discuss what's going on in your life. And you discuss what's going on in your family. And you discuss, and as long as your man is acting in the Word of God, it should be easy to submit. Men, I don't think there's a lady in this room that would not be willing to submit to a godly man that is trying to live according to the Word of God, that is trying to make decisions according to the Word of God. Will you make wrong ones? Yes, you will. Ladies, that's not the time to come and hammer on your husband and say, "See, I told you." Now, if they're doing the driving thing and they didn't ask directions, maybe that's okay. But we know there are a whole lot more important decisions that are made in this life. That's the time to come over to your husband and say, "Well, I guess we made the wrong decision." Because you see, God says that we are one. And so at that point, now it's not the husband who's made the wrong decision any longer. It is now the unit. Because you have decided to submit to your husband. Men, you have included your wife in the discussion that needs to happen. You are coming together as a team. And in fact, you are coming together as one. The church is the bride of Christ. Jesus has sanctified the church through the Word of God. The woman signifies the church in the marriage relationship. Husbands, you are told to bathe the women in the Word. In other words, you are to be the spiritual leader of the house. In John 17, 6 through 9, it says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. You are to treat your wives as Christ loved the church. Men, you are to live a life that is holy. She's following our example to be holy. Men, you are to live a life that is holy so that your wives will have an example of a godly man. And possibly more important, but I don't think more important, because God puts the hierarchy, the man, the husband, the wife, and the children. So equally as important, as you are living as a godly unit, it will trickle to your children. Are your children out of your house now? I saw a lot of smiles. I saw a lot of smiles. But you know what? You can still have a godly influence on your kids that are not with you any longer because of the godly relationship. Are you raising maybe your grandchildren? You have a godly influence. Because of your submission, because of following what God has asked us to do, following His Word. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you, the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. How many of you women know women are more concerned about love and men are more concerned with respect? And what 1 Peter is telling us here is that men understand respect. In some ways, we have a hard time wrapping our arms around love. But we want to be treated with respect. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. So why would he say that? Because he knows that men understand respect. And that we will know exactly how to treat them because we know that we desire respect. And lastly, church, love Jesus. Ephesians 5:32. We are the bride of Christ, remember? As the church, we are to love Jesus. This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ in the church. All of this that we've been talking about, wives submit to your husbands, husbands submit to your wives. It has spiritual implications because God says, this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife. He's telling you now, wait a minute, this has spiritual implications, but I'm also talking about the physical walk that you are walking today. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Do you see what I'm saying? Women understand love. Men understand respect. Now, psychologists think they just figured that out about 5 years ago. Isn't that interesting? I've seen a few psychology books and classes, and they think they just figured that out. God had it figured out 2,000 years ago. In fact, He had it figured out many, many years before that. He's making it clear that this passage has a dual meaning. It's one of that we are to live together as a family unit. That men, it is time that we stand up and be the kind of man that God has called you to be. He has not called you to be a spiritual wimp. He has called you to be the spiritual head of your household. He has called you to stand up and make a decision. It doesn't matter necessarily if it's the wrong decision. It matters that you made the decision following the Word of God, and God's going to work out the details. That's what's going to happen. God's going to honor the fact that you took up the mantle of leadership the way He has told you to do, and you made a wrong one. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to flip that thing right around, and it will have been the right one if you are making it with the heart of God. Ladies, as you submit to your husbands, and he makes those wrong decisions, and you know that, and yet you stand by him, you know what? He's going to do the same and flip those things around, and you are still walking together as a unit. It's just exactly the way it is with the church and with Christ. And as we move together with Christ, and as we give the gospel of Jesus, and as we make mistakes, and as we do those mistakes knowing that we are trying to work towards the will of God through His Word, He's going to take those mistakes and He's going to flip those around and He's going to say, you know what? It's okay. I got it fixed. He just wants us to be obedient. He doesn't say we have to be right. We just have to be obedient. We have to be honorable. Do you love the Lord like you love your spouse? I have a couple of questions for you before we close. Will you live for Him, but more importantly, would you die for Him? Will you live for Him? And are you willing to give Him every single thing you've got and die for Him? Wives, you've been given your husband as an example of how to submit to Christ. Men, you've been given your wife as an example of Christ's love for the church. Are we both living up to our responsibilities? Are we living up to the responsibility that Christ has already told us? That the mystery that we are talking about is that it's the church and it's Christ that should be having the close relationship, because when all of this, when that close relationship falls into place, then they all fall into place. Have you examined your life today? God says we're supposed to examine our lives daily. He knows we're going to mess up daily. So we have to examine them daily. He wants us to give our lives to Him each and every day. I don't want to build this church to see how many numbers we can pack in these pews, because I don't believe that's scriptural. However, I want to build this church to see how many souls we can pack in these pews. How many disciples can we pack in these pews? If we have a lot of people just filling the seats that are going to hell, then we didn't do our job. But if we have people coming to fill these seats that begin to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness' sake, then we're working the way God wants us to work. But that hunger and that thirst, I think, has to start right here. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake? Or have you forgotten about that first passionate encounter with Christ? Has it become blasé? If it's become blasé with your wife, husbands, Take her on a special weekend. Take her out to eat occasionally. Call her your honey, your sweetheart. Treat her like you were when you're first dating. If it's become blasé with Christ, do the same thing. See, he gave us that example because we can understand it. We understand that physical example. And he wants us to do the same thing with Christ. If it's become blasé, it's just another day at church. I'll be glad when this is over with. I'm missing the game. Don't forget about your first love. Don't forget about that passion that God gives us so that you can feel that stirring in your spirit again and know exactly where you stand with Christ as the spotless bride who's walking down the aisle radiant in the white dress for the first time. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you. I thank you for your love, Lord. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for loving us even though we are unlovable. I pray that we might have a passion for you once again, Father. That we will return and know that stirring of our heart is now continued and we grow in you. I pray that we will each get on our knees. I pray that lives will be touched. I pray that hearts will be renewed. And I give you the praise in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining with us on our broadcast of His Gospel Power. I'm excited that you join with us and listen to us daily about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a listener-supported program, and I'm asking that you might prayerfully consider joining with us to spread the gospel around the world. You can do that in many ways. You can either go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. My latest one is God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. All the proceeds of those books go to this program of His Gospel Power. Also, you could go to HisGospelPower.org, HisGospelPower.org, and there is a donate section on that website. That is our website here for His Gospel Power. And just go and click on the donate button. If you would prefer to mail your gift, you can just send it to P.O. Box 1569. That's P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And all contributions that we receive are greatly appreciated. You would truly be a blessing to this ministry. I'm excited once again that you have joined with us. And until next time, I pray that you experience His gospel power today.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed.